I'm going to ask you now to turn with me in your Bible to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 to 25. We've been working our way together through the book of Galatians. This morning, we want to consider together how we have new life by God's Spirit. Again, our text this morning is from the book of Galatians, chapter 5. We're beginning where we left off last time with verse 16. Let's hear God's word. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness and orgies and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Thus far, the reading of God's word. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, this morning we're thinking about the work of your Spirit and our need, our reliance, our dependence upon your Spirit. But Lord, we don't want to just talk about your Spirit. We really need your Spirit. And so we ask for your Spirit. We pray, Lord, we pray this morning for the real presence of your Spirit to be with us this morning, to comfort us, to strengthen us, to teach us, to encourage us according to our needs. Come and fellowship with us, Lord, and meet with us, we pray. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. How can you keep growing as a Christian? I mean, once you've become a Christian, okay, now that you are trusting in Jesus Christ, now that Jesus has become the basis of your relationship with God, how can you keep growing and moving forward in the Christian life? Now, here's what I want us to see together this morning. Once we have placed our faith in Jesus, we have received new life by God's Spirit. And this is very important. This is fundamental to Paul's argument that when you come to place your faith in Jesus, when you come to that point where you realize that Jesus has to be the basis and the foundation for your relationship with God, when you come to trust in Jesus for that, you experience the free gift of new life by God's Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a free gift whom we receive as we trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior. God's Spirit is not something we conjure up from within, but He is a free gift whom we receive as we trust in Jesus as our Savior. But now what? What's next? Now that you have received the Spirit of God, you have new life in Jesus Christ, how do you keep going? How do you keep growing? Well, for many of the Gentile Christians of the first century, the answer was, try harder. self-effort, self-discipline, and plenty of rules. Does that sound familiar? That sounds like every infomercial. That sounds like every weight loss program, every seminar. They're always a combination of follow these simple steps. Exercise some self-control, focus, and do these things to work toward self-improvement. In the ancient church, you have Gentile Christians. That means they were not Jewish. They came from predominantly pagan backgrounds, which means they came from a culture we would consider lawless. Okay? Their religions promoted and encouraged immorality, sensuality, drunkenness, debauchery. Okay? Now people have come out of that lifestyle. They've discovered the good news of Jesus Christ. And in the process, they're meeting Jewish Christians. And these Jewish Christians were very different. Jewish Christians lived a very buttoned-down life. Their families were very ordered and structured. Jewish life in the first century was highly regulated. Every aspect of Jewish life was regulated by rules and traditions. And so if you're a Gentile Christian who has come from all this mess, chaos, disorder, immorality, you've come to know Jesus, there's something about the structure of Judaism that was appealing. And so some of the first century Gentile Christians were thinking, that's what I need. I've trusted in Jesus. Now I need to take the next step and I need to try harder and follow Jewish rules, and that will make me better as a Christian. So Paul has written the book of Galatians essentially to say, no, it's not going to work. Okay, following rules, okay, looking inside yourself, digging deep, trying to be better, will not save you. And it will not change you. Okay? Only God can save you. And only God can change you. Only God can pardon you and forgive you. And only God can grow you and transform you. And so Paul is saying, in effect, you need to live the Christian life the same way you started it. And that is by God's Spirit. Too often we begin the Christian life by receiving the free gift of God's Spirit, and then somewhere along the line we get the notion that now it's up to me. You know, everything has been free so far. Everything has been God's Spirit, but now I guess it's up to me. Now I've got to do it myself. We get into our minds that somehow the rest of the way is all in my hands, and Paul says that will never work. You're not able to save yourself, neither are you able to fix yourself. You've got to continue the Christian life the same way you began, and that is by the free gift of God's Spirit in your life. This is what Paul has in mind when we pick up here in verse 16. He says, I say, walk by the Spirit. Now, if you remember, we saw last time that the Christian life is like running a race. Oftentimes, the Christian life is like that. You sense you are growing. You're making progress. You're going somewhere. Sometimes you can just see it happening in your life. It's like all these things are flashing by you and you are moving forward. You can see the finish line. You're going somewhere. The Christian life is often like running a race. But here, Paul compares it to a walk. Sometimes you feel like you are running, you are growing, you are moving, and other times it's all that you can do to put one foot in front of the other. And that's okay. As long as you are moving forward, it doesn't really matter how quickly you're moving. Some people are going very quickly in the wrong direction. Okay? The most important thing is, are you going the right way? Are you moving forward? Because the Christian life is not a sprint. It's a marathon. And sometimes all you can do is put one foot in front of the other and just keep going on, just keep pressing on. That's fine as long as you're going the right way. Now, that's not an excuse for going slow. It's not an excuse for being lazy. And it's certainly not an excuse for going backwards. Because if you're not moving forward in the Christian life, you are going backwards. There's no standing still in the Christian life. If you're not pressing ahead and growing, you are going backwards in the Christian life. You always want to be moving forward. And how do you do it? Paul says you walk by the Spirit. And what he means by that is you have to live in conscious reliance and dependence upon the Spirit of God. That means you wake up in the morning and you tell yourself, I cannot do it myself. I simply cannot do it by myself. I cannot be the man God wants me to be by myself. If you think you're doing okay living the Christian life in your own effort, you have set the bar way too low. Because what God calls you to, what God desires for you, the change and the transformation that God desires to see in your life is the sort of transformation that only God can accomplish within your life. And so if you think you're doing okay on your own, you have set the bar way, way too low. Paul says you've got to live in conscious reliance on the Spirit of God, meaning every day you're saying, Jesus, I can't do this myself. I don't respond well to interruptions. Okay, things have not been going my way lately. I'm stressing out, and I need your grace. I need your Spirit. I need you to grow me. I need you to change me. Paul calls that walking by the Spirit. And what he means is consciously, daily, acknowledging and recognizing your dependence upon God's Spirit to work within you and change you. Paul says if you do that, if you walk by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Well, when he's talking about the flesh here, he means the old you. He's saying these Gentile Christians, they were afraid they would fall back into these old patterns of debauchery and sensuality and excess. And Paul says, you know how you overcome that? By daily reliance upon the Spirit of God. If you walk by the Spirit, you won't gratify the desires of the flesh. Paul says, the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. Okay? If you're a Christian, you want to live for Jesus. You want that. You want to be a better person. You want to be changed. You want to be that woman or that young man, that distinct individual that God wants you to be. If you're a believer in your heart of hearts, that's what you want. If you don't want that, you're not a Christian. Because that's what a Christian is. A Christian is someone who has come to place their faith in Jesus, to rely on that, on Jesus Christ. And when you do that, he fills you with his Spirit who wants you, who enables you, who gives you that desire so that you want to live for Jesus. If you don't want to live for Jesus in your heart of hearts, you're not a Christian. Because a Christian is someone who has this new life by God's Spirit. And so at some level, you want to live for God. And yet there's still the old you. Paul calls it the flesh, or the old nature, or the sinful nature, that old you, that part of you that resists what God is doing in your life, that wants to sabotage or throw a monkey wrench. You know, that is, on the one hand, you want to live for God, and yet there's some part of you that undermines and resists that, so that there's conflict within you. If the conflict was just out there, if that was the conflict, the only conflict was out there, my old buddies want to pull me back into my old lifestyle. If the conflict was only out there, then perhaps you could deal with that by getting a new support group, new rules, okay, self-discipline, motivational DVDs. And if the conflict was only out there, perhaps this new approach would be sufficient. But Paul says the conflict is also within you. There's actually a part of you that is resisting the work of God's Spirit, that's resisting what God wants to do in you. And so mere behavioral modification is not going to be enough. Okay? If you're a Christian, you want to live for Jesus. But sometimes our old nature keeps us from following Christ the way we want to, so that there's conflict within you. And that's why behavior modification is not enough. Verse 18, Paul says, but if you're led by the Spirit, that is, you're living in daily conscious dependence, reliance on the Spirit of God, he says, then you're not under the law. Well, what he means here by the law is not just the Ten Commandments, not just Old Testament ceremonies and sacrifices, not even just the rabbinic man-made traditions. But all these things in Judaism have become a system of self-improvement. That's what Judaism had done. It had taken God-given Ten Commandments and Old Testament ceremonies and added man-made rules, but turned it into a system of self-improvement, self-justification, a way of earning your own approval before God. And what that leads to is condemnation and separation from God, because you just can't keep all the rules all the time. Sometimes you may feel good about how the progress you feel like you're making, but you can't do it. So life under the law is life separated from God because of our failure to obey. That's what Paul means by being under the law, being condemned by it, being buried by it, being separated from God. He says here, if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. And what he means is that your behavior is no longer the basis for your relationship with God. Under the law, your behavior is the basis of your relationship with God, and therefore you're condemned. But now, if you're trusting in Jesus Christ, his behavior is the basis for your relationship with God. His perfect behavior. You're no longer condemned by the law. You are set free, you are delivered, and you're led by God's Spirit. Now, Paul says, if that's the case, if you live by God's Spirit, if you have new life in you by God's Spirit, then walk by God's Spirit. Okay. How do you recognize when you're trying to do something in your own strength? How do you recognize when it's the old you at work? Well, he says, the works of the flesh are evident. Okay? The old you is going to show itself. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, division, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Paul is not pulling his punches here. He says those who live according to the flesh, those who are living out of their own old nature, will not inherit the kingdom of God. If these things characterize your life, you are not going to heaven. You are condemned. You are separated from God. Paul doesn't pull any punches here. But what's really striking is the particular works of the flesh that he describes, because most of this list sounds like first century Gentile paganism. Okay? Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, even drunkenness and orgies. These are the characteristic sins of Gentile paganism. Obviously, anybody's capable of any kind of sin. But the sins he's describing here are mostly sins that characterize Gentile paganism. And yet, in the middle of the list, he includes what we might call more respectable sins. Jealousy. Okay, strife. Okay, conflict. Arguing in the family. Rivalries. Dissensions. Divisions. Okay, cliques. Envy. It seems that Paul is predominantly focusing on these very gross, obvious sins of paganism. But in the very midst of the list, he describes certain sins that were characteristic of first century Judaism. Because whenever you're living in a system of self-improvement, what we might call rule-keeping, there's going to be competition. Paul called rivalries. Okay? There's going to be looking down on one another. There's going to be insecurities because you're not keeping up with somebody else. See, even rule-keeping can come from the flesh. We tend to think in terms of rule-keepers and rule-breakers. And like the Gentile Christians, we think, oh my, wouldn't it be good to clean up your life and begin to follow these rules? And we would have to say, yes. Honesty is better than dishonesty. Hard work is better than laziness. Order is better than disorder. And so, yes, rule keeping is better than rule breaking. But Paul wants you to go deeper than that, and he wants you to see that even rule keeping can come from the flesh. You can be very moral and hardworking, but it can be coming from a heart of insecurity or arrogance or self-centeredness or pride. And Paul says you've got to go deeper. Okay, it's kind of like, you know, you can wash your own hands, but you can't perform surgery on yourself. You can cut your fingernails, you can comb your hair, but you can't perform heart surgery on yourself. Paul is saying what you need goes deeper than simply cleaning up your life. You need God himself to work on you. There's change that only the Holy Spirit can produce in your life. And so after listing what he calls the works of the flesh, he describes the fruit of the Spirit. Notice the contrast. The works of the flesh. Anger speaks out. But when he talks about God's Spirit, he uses the word fruit. Okay, fruit is natural. Fruit is organic. Fruit has to come from the inside. Fruit takes time to grow. Okay, anybody can put on a face. Anybody can be fake. Anybody can be phony. Anybody can hold their tongue for a few minutes. But Paul's not talking about religiosity. He's talking about genuine inward transformation. He compares the fruit. It's got to grow naturally. And he says, this is what God's Spirit will do in your life. He says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Paul says, this is what God's Spirit will do within you. Now, our problem is we don't believe that. I mean, too often we don't think that sounds too easy. I've got to do it myself. When we don't trust in God's Spirit, that's when we fall back into relying on our own strength and ability. But Paul says God's Spirit can be trusted. In fact, God's Spirit can be trusted more than you can, more than I can. God's Spirit really will produce this kind of genuine, real, and lasting fruit. As we've been saying lately, God can do more in you and for you and through you and to you than you could ever do yourself. You've got to believe that God can do more in you and for you and through you and to you than you could ever possibly muster up in your own strength. There's a certain kind of change that only God's Spirit can bring. And Paul says, good news, God will do it if you live in conscious dependence upon the Spirit of God, if you'll walk by the Spirit. Paul lists the fruit of the Spirit here. And then he says, against such things, there's no law. Well, of course, there's no law against gentleness or love or peace. Why would Paul say that? Because I think he wants you to understand the contrast he's making is not between law breaking and law keeping. That's the way we think, us and them, good people and bad people, hardworking people and lazy people. We tend to think in terms of rule keepers and rule breakers. And as I said before, yes, rule keeping is better than rule breaking. But that's not the point Paul is making here. The contrast Paul is making this morning is between life in the flesh versus life in the Spirit. The flesh, living in the flesh, can lead to rule breaking. It can manifest itself in laziness and debauchery and sensuality. But the flesh can also manifest itself in terms of outward morality and keeping all the rules and trying to do things just right to try to prove yourself or earn somebody's approval. That's all the flesh. Paul wants you to see the contrast between living out of your own effort and living out of the power of God's Spirit within you. He says you've got two things in your favor. First, you have the presence of the Holy Spirit living in you to produce new spiritual life. We said that. Secondly, you've already dealt the old nature, the sinful flesh, what you might call a mortal blow. Okay, listen to how he says this. those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passion and desires. So not only do you have the Holy Spirit living in your life, and God has come into you to renovate you. You know, he's come in to renew you, to transform you. That is his intention. He's working with you and for you. But not only that, he says, you have dealt the old you a mortal blow. He says, you've crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. To crucify something is to put it to death on a cross. And so I think Paul means at least a couple of things. One is that when you come to Jesus, you're recognizing that Jesus, in a sense, did not belong on the cross. He was sinless. He was pure. He didn't deserve to die. To be a Christian is to recognize that Jesus died for you. He died for me. In a sense, you're putting your own old you up on the cross saying, I deserve to be there. That's what I deserve. I deserve the judgment. I deserve the condemnation. In a sense, you're taking the old you and you're hanging that on the cross and you're saying, Jesus, I deserve to be up there instead of you. You have died there for me. And that's what it is to trust in Jesus. It's to recognize that Christ has been to the cross for you to take your penalty and your punishment. But I think there's more to it than that. To crucify something is to kill something, to put it to death by the cross. And here I think Paul means is that you subdue, you mortify, you put to death the old nature by applying the power of the cross to it. In other words, what we're talking about this morning is not primarily outward behavior. We're talking about heart motivation. How do you get at the motivations of the heart? The old nature is all about insecurity, anxiety, arrogance, self-centeredness, unbelief. How do you get at that? With the cross. With the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that in Jesus, you're forgiven. You are loved. You are accepted. You are welcome, that Jesus Christ gave his life for you. And you see, in the light of grace and pardon and love and assurance, what happens is that fear and self-centeredness and arrogance begin to shrivel and die. You're killing it, so to speak, by applying the cross to it. You crucify the old nature by going to Jesus. The good news of the gospel is like the light that drives out the darkness, that puts to death the old you with its sinful desire and passions. So Paul says, you want to grow. You want to change. You've already experienced new life by God's Spirit. You've received new life by God's Spirit. And so Paul concludes our text this morning by saying, if that's true, if we live by the Spirit, let us continue. Let us walk by the Spirit. As you live in conscious reliance and dependence on the Spirit of God, if you will but trust Him, He will change you. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you for the change that you have already done in us, for the change you've already begun in us, how you have already reached into our lives at a depth that we can't even really comprehend. We can't really understand to what deep levels you have reached into the very recesses of our being and changed us at the very core. And we ask now that you would continue that good work you've begun in us, Lord. We can't do it, but you can, and you will. And so we pray, Father, more and more for the work of your Spirit within us. Help us, O Lord, to grow. We pray that you'd fill us with your Spirit. Do what only you can do within us. Do what you desire to do within us. Have your way with us, Lord. Accomplish within us the good you want to do, which is to fill us with love, joy, peace, and patience, and goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. We ask you now, Lord, we pray that we might live in more conscious reliance and dependence on you, knowing that you are faithful. You can be trusted. You will grow us and change us. Lord, we thank you for that. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is Pastor Claude Taylor. I'm glad you've just heard the broadcast of the weekly Sunday morning worship service of New Hope Presbyterian Church. New Hope Church is a Christ-centered, Bible-based church ministry where everyone is welcome. I invite you to join us in person for worship each Sunday at 10 a.m., followed by Sunday school for all ages. The church is located at the corner of Hitchener Avenue and Osborne Lane, in the neighborhood across from Bridgeton High School. If you need more information or wish to speak to me personally, please call 856-451-7644. That's 856-451-7644. This broadcast is a production of New Hope Presbyterian Church, a member of the Orthodox Presbyterian family of churches.